Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by our good friends over at the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. Today's special guest is Brent from the Elsinore Gallery. Is it the Elsinore Gallery, or is it Elsinore Framing and Gallery, or is it the Elsinore...
Well, the current name is Elsinore Framing and Art Gallery.
Okay.
That's what we're going by right now. We have changed over the years a few times.
What was it originally?
So when we started, the gallery was called Candelaria Gallery because that's where we started originally, was in the Candelaria Mall.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When we moved downtown, we moved next to the Elsinore Theater, and we took that name because it was a marker for us.
Okay, all right. So for our listeners who are not aware, you guys have been around for a while.
Yeah, the gallery actually is celebrating 35 years of the Salem area business.
Wow.
This June, in fact, right now. And that started as kind of a interesting beginning for us there because Steve and Barb Narcus, who are our founders, were basically just in the construction business at the time. And Barb needed a kind of a creative outlet for her. And Steve and Barb investigated maybe opening a frame shop. And they had a friend of theirs that said, hey, you fund it, you get it open, and I'll rent it. Well, when the time come to actually get the place open, that friend of theirs, unfortunately, left and kind of left him holding the bag.
Don't you hate friends like that?
Yeah, she had some personal things that were happening in her life, so she left. And so they really had to scramble to kind of get things together. They had already taken orders and frame orders and things. So they really had to scramble to kind of get caught up because neither of them had ever run a shop like that before. I don't think either of them have actually ever cut mats or, you know, built a frame. Steve had some construction experience, and Barb, of course, was an artist herself, so she had that side of it covered. But they'd never actually run it as a business.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Barb, and she, you said she was an artist. She used to do some fabulous, or still does do some fabulous work.
Yeah, she was involved with an artist, as an artist with us for a number of years, doing golf course art, actually, portraits and paintings of golf courses here in Oregon.
Why golf courses?
Well, Steve and Barb both were golfers, and so they had a kind of a joint interest. Barb needed needed an outlet for her artistic efforts, and there wasn't anybody here in the area that was painting that subject.
Okay.
So it kind of fell in with them, starting with Creekside Golf Course. Barb had just gone to somebody at one point at the course and said, you know, I'd love to paint this hole at this golf course. And so she did the fifth at Creekside, and it took off from there. And all of a sudden, we're doing all these different courses all over Oregon and Washington.
And, you know, it's when I first met Barb, I loved her. She's just a fun person to talk with and stuff. And,
yes.
And I had her on my radio show a couple times when I was across town, and she would I'd give it to her, and she'd give it right back. And I thought, this is great. But she introduced me to the Thomas Kincaid art.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed me a photograph that Thomas Kincaid did of the old Granada Theater in Morgan Hill, California.
Hmm.
And I have that painting.
Yeah.
My aunt and uncle owned the Granada Theater in Morgan Hill for over 50 years.
Oh, great.
And she showed me this, and I go, that looks just like my aunt and uncle's theater. She goes, Morgan Hill? I go, yeah.
Hmm.
And Barb was the one that showed me that. And I've got it hanging in my house right now.
Yeah, as part of our offerings, we actually hosted a Kincaid dealership for a while in the gallery. That kind of waned and changed over the years, but we had some Kincaid art in the gallery.
Is he still around?
No, Kincaid passed a few years back, and companies kind of taken over his artwork, and so he's doing other doing other things with that now.
So how did Barb and Steve manage to keep the doors open when they first took over? They didn't have a lot of experience. How they managed to do that?
Well, it was a mad scramble to get those first orders done. I don't remember the amount of orders they'd taken in, but it was quite a number of pieces that they had taken in. And with no experience, they kind of had to get somebody who could help them out at the beginning to kind of teach them. Fortunately, they found a lady in Portland who was a framer for years and years and years, and she was available at the time to help them out, teach them how to cut mats at that time by hand and build frames and a little bit more about how to run a business like that, you know, how to develop a frame order, how to do those kind of things, which they had no idea what they were doing at that time. And so she helped them get started. And then it's a lot of just kind of reading about how to do things and learning from other framers and learning from other shops about how to create that kind of product. And so it took a while, but they got settled in. And then, of course, really it's a matter of just getting good people to help and getting good staff that know the industry and are able to step in and do some of the creative things that are involved.
So Steve and Barb, they didn't run it by themselves. They had help. They had talented folks that would come on board and help them out?
Yeah, well, even in that first year or so, they had to get somebody to help because the orders were just coming in. At that time, there weren't a lot of frame shops in Salem, and so those frame orders just kept rolling in, and so they had to get some staff to help them out to just keep up with everything at that time.
When you say they had to build the frames, don't you just get a frame and just stick the picture in like you do at the store and say, here we go, I just built this frame?
So most of our frames come in 9 foot.
Why are you looking at me like that? Yeah. You don't do it that way, do you?
We don't do it that way. No, most of our frames will come in 9 foot lengths. And what we do is we cut and build them to size.
Okay.
And so, not all frames fit all pieces. And so we do have some ready-made frames that are part of our offerings that are standard sizes.
Right.
But honestly, most pieces we do are not. And so you'll get some pieces that are longer and skinnier pieces that you just can't find a frame that will fit them. And so we will have to cut those and build them ourselves. So those are all pretty much done in-house.
Okay.
We don't take anything outside unless it's something that's very large or something that needs a specialty finish or something like that. Everything is pretty much done in-house. So we do. We cut our own frames. We build our own frames there in the gallery.
So let me throw you a curve here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you about a box frame. Did I say that right? Is it a box frame? That's where I was telling you earlier that my father had a wallet, and he's since passed away.
Yes.
And Steve put it in some kind of a frame. I thought he's called it a box frame.
Right. So those are typically called shadow box frames.
So, okay. So I was half right.
Yeah. What we do with deeper objects, we can accommodate those in a number of different ways. There are shadow box frame moldings that you can cut and build. And then sometimes if they don't find just the right frame, we can actually build a backing box. And that's what he was referring to, backing box, and then put a frame on top of that. And that becomes the kind of the jewel on the crown as far as the decoration of the piece. Sometimes in shadow box frames, because they're so deep and most of the time very narrow, you can't just find just the right look. And so doing it that way, you have a more of a variety to do.
Okay. Another question on a side note here, and then we'll get back to the one where I was going with this, is that when I still do some stand-up comedy, and I opened for Louis Anderson in Las Vegas. And he gave me a $100 bill, a real $100 bill, and Steve mounted it in this frame with the photographs and so on and so forth. And my wife told me that day, she goes, that $100 bill is still in there. Why don't you get that out and put a fake one in there?
And funny.
I'm sure she wanted to go shopping with my $100 bill.
Yeah.
But on something like that, can you do that? Can you go in there and kind of remove the back and replace something with something else?
Yeah, usually if it's not entirely glued in, we can get them apart. With mats, if you try to get mats apart, sometimes you can peel off the surface of the mat trying to do that. So that would have to be replaced at that point. But most of the time, we can get in there and replace things. We have a lot of people that bring in just pieces that have gotten broken glass, for instance, and maybe the mat got a little torn, and so we just replace the top mat or repair it as best we can.
Okay, so what you're saying now, Brent, because my wife will be listening to this show, is no, it cannot be done. Okay, thank you, Brent. Thank you very much. So when did you get involved with this? What's your background?
So actually, I took an art and framing job back in 1990 looking for a music gig, and I found art, and my art was my minor. And I went to work for Art Decor Gallery first, and we moved
Where were
in.
They?
So they were by the Elsinore Theater
across
for a number
street?
Of years. Yeah, across
okay.
the street. Well, they were right next to the Elsinore Theater for about, 7 or 8 years. And so I went to work for them first and got my training and got everything that I needed to start. And then Art Decor was running into some financial difficulties with some other things that were happening with them. And so I went to look for another gig and found Steve and Barb. And I'd known them from doing trade shows and different things like that before. And so I went to work for them in 1995. And then I started down there at the Candelaria Gallery, which had moved across the street from the mall at that point, and just a small shop. Mm-hmm. And so when I found out that the space down by the Elsinore Theater was going to be available, I suggested to Steve and Barb that we move down there. And so that continued the saga of our gallery and moving around.
Okay. So you've been with Steve and Barb, for years then?
Yes, a long time. Yeah, this is about my 31st or 32nd year in the business now.
Really?
Like I said, the gallery itself has been here for 35 years, and so not long after Steve and Barb started, I started in the industry myself.
There was a lot of remodeling that went on through the years, too. Tell me about some of that.
So when we moved into the Elsinore Theater space next door, we actually moved in with a small cafe. We had to put in a loft for the upstairs. We did a lot of remodeling. It was about $100,000 for the remodeling we put into the building to make it usable for us. And then that building opened as the Elsinore Center for the Arts, which included art studios upstairs and also a gallery for Barb and other things like that. So we had different spaces. We even had some art classes going on for a while. And so we really changed over the years, changed the format of the business as well as the format of the store to keep up with the times and just make sure we were updating all of our business model.
All right, so when did Steve and Barb decide, hey, enough is enough, let's let Brent deal with the headaches?
Well, I came on as a manager of the small store, and then when we consolidated our Creekside Gallery in Kaiser and our Salem store down at the Elsinore Center, I kind of became the main manager of everything and scheduled all the shows, and we had a production manager for framing at that time as well. And so that's about when that happened. And then we of course moved more recently into our street, Ferry Street address right around the corner from
there. What caused you to move over there?
Well, we had new landlords, and they were, you know, of course, every time you get a new landlord, they want more money for the space. And
yeah, amazing how that works,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. And then we just felt like we needed to kind of consolidate what we were doing because we were on two floors at the other space, and we wanted to keep our business on one level. It was just easier for us. A lot of our clients were getting to the point where they couldn't manage the stairs anymore and that kind of thing. So we just wanted to make sure that we were accommodating our public as well as we could.
Okay. Now, did Steve and Barb move with you over to there?
Or? Right. Yes. They were over there with us. And so they were over there since we moved.
All right. How long have they been out of the business now?
So they basically just retired a couple of years ago. We had taken on a new ownership format where we had investors come in, and it's been great to have new blood and new influence in the business. And so that's been really great to kind of get new direction, shall we say, in the mm-hmm. business. And it's helped us to change our format of the business and also what we carry and also how we do our business at the gallery.
Okay. So is it a bigger facility where you're at now, or did you downsize? Or?
We actually, as far as total space downsize, as far as usable space, we're probably about the same.
Okay.
But the advantage is, again, we're on one level. People can see everything in one go through the gallery rather than going up and down the stairs and looking all over the place trying to find things. And it's better controlled environment and more visible than we were in our old location.
Right. You had said earlier that Barb was teaching classes. Are you still continuing with that today? Or?
We have done some classes in the gallery, but it's been a while. And, of course, with the pandemic, we haven't been able to do anything like that for quite a while. We have some seminars where artists come in and present and that kind of thing during every other month or so. We try to do that when we can. Again, we've been a little limited in the last 15 months or so.
Okay. Now, you've got, I guess there will be an exhibit coming up. And we'll talk about that after this break here.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an exciting exhibit, right?
Yeah, we've always got some exciting things happening in the gallery and new artists coming in and out all the time.
Okay. We need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show, it's being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. More with Brent from the what is your official name of the business now?
So Elsinore Framing and Art Gallery is what we are right now.
All right. Back in a moment. Stick around. We're just getting warmed up here.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show. We are talking with Brent Allen from the Elsinore Framing and Art Gallery. Did I get the name correct?
Yes, that's okay. Correct.
It's changed around a couple of times, and you never know.
It has, yeah. We've kind of changed our business model, and so that's changed our name a few times.
Yeah. How has COVID affected your business?
With us, because we're a very visual business, people need to see the artwork. And so most of our shows, unfortunately, have had to go to a virtual format on our website instead of having our monthly live receptions, which we prefer to do, of course. So it's been a little bit challenging in the art side of the business. As far as the framing side of the business, that's been a totally different story. The people that would normally be spending money on vacations and cruises have spent money on their homes. So we've been very blessed to be very busy in the last 15 months with framing. I think our board has been more consistent than any part of our history at this point, just in the framing element, which right. has kept us going.
And now that things are kind of opening up again, you're seeing more traffic?
Right. So we're able to do limited live receptions again as part of the Salem Art Walk, which is on the first Friday of the month. We just started back with them first Wednesday, which was kind of our go-to for a number of years, kind of went away when the pandemic happened. But we at that time had the first Wednesday and the final Friday art walks here in town. And so the group decided to kind of consolidate those into the first Friday art walk.
So right now, coming up next weekend, you have the Salem Art Walk is starting back up again?
Right. So the first Friday of the month, which will be the second, we will have a featured artist named Greg Navratil. And we have featured his work in the gallery before. He does really beautiful large-scale landscape pieces and kind of what I call macro pieces, where he'd take a leaf that's floating in a stream and blow it up about 80 times, and you see all the detail. It's both kind of realistic and impressionistic, because if you were to stand right in front of it, you would just see like Monet. You'd see a bunch of different dots of color. When you stand back from it, it pulls together, and it's just a beautiful scene.
How long would it take him to create something like that?
Well, he's not a particularly fast painter. That's the thing. With that kind of technique, you really have to plan your paintings quite carefully. So, I mean, a painting can take up to 6 months to complete. Now, he might have two or three going at one time. Yeah, it would take
Seriously?
About...
Seriously? You can do more than one at one time?
Yeah, you can start a painting and kind of get an idea going and a basic sketch, and then you can move on to another painting and come back to the others. Depending on your media, it's a good way to do it so you don't get stuck, you know, because it's like writer's block. You can get stuck on a painting and not be able to move beyond. And then, you know, it just kills you as an artist to be, you know, invested in a painting that you can't finish because you're just blocked in a way.
Right. Do you paint?
I do, yeah. I do a little bit of painting. I don't do a lot just because I really specialize in, you know, representing other artists and working in the gallery. And so it's my job to do all of that. When I go home, I'm not always motivated to paint. If you're playing basketball for a living, you don't go home and play basketball, you know, sometimes. Right. So that's kind of my feeling. Is I do it when I get a chance. It's more of a hobby for me. Art was my minor rather than my major in college.
Are you good at it?
Some would say yes, some would say no.
Well, let's say yes then.
I do a lot of different things. So I try not to get stuck in any one media or any one style of artwork. So I can vary that, and that helps me to not get bored with it.
Do you have any of your artwork on display anywhere?
Yes, I have some pieces in the gallery as well.
Now, how do these artists find you? Because you're going to be doing these different exhibits?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're going to be doing these about once every month or once every other month or so?
Right. So we've done a monthly show for years and years and years in our old location and in this location, where we feature one or a group of artists. But we've just in the last 5 years started opening it up. The gallery is really going through a lot of different artists in our what we call our featured artist showcase. So we'll have up to 21, 22 artists actually throughout the gallery that are all original artwork and all locals, Northwest artists. We don't really have to feel like we have to go beyond the Northwest to find enough artists to fill the gallery. So that's the beauty of being in our location, is that we have a lot of art people in the area who are very talented. And so we plan on opening up an original gallery and replace all of our inventory we figured it would take about a year to do that, and it was within 6 months we had filled the place with original art.
Now, do they come to you, or do you have to go out and look for them? And if you do need to go out and look for them, how do you find them?
It's a combination of both. I mean, I'll go to, like, the Salem Art Fair and different festivals. I'll go to artists' websites. Some artists do send me submissions online. And others are really, a lot of it is word of mouth and working with our local arts groups like Artists in Action, the art associations and those kind of places, even Capital Calligraphers and some of the other groups that we've shown artwork through. Those people come and just talk to us, and eventually they work into doing either a little showcase or they do a feature show.
Do you get a lot of stuff online? I mean, that's the way the world's going right now. Everything's done online.
Yes.
So do you get a lot of people sending you, hey, take a look at this, take a look at that, and then...
Yeah, we've got a lot of artists and even individuals who have artwork that they want to sell and that kind of thing that will contact us. But the artists sometimes will just send me pictures of what they're doing and say, hey, is this something you could show, or is this something you'd consider, you know, doing a small showcase or a big featured show? And I'll say, well, you know, sometimes no and sometimes yes, just depending on whether it fits with what we're doing. We try to have a good variety of artwork in the gallery, so if I have all landscapes in the gallery at any one time, it's not as exciting as having a variety.
And now I'm going to get you in trouble, okay? Do you ever get something that just, oh, no, we're not going to use this? I mean, if I was to paint something and show it to you, I know darn well you'd say, get out of here. Do you ever get something like that where you just go, this just isn't
a cup of tea? Well, yeah, of course you're going to get people that are starting out, and they need help and they need advice. And so we try to be kind, as, you know, people are trying to teach as well as get them into the gallery as artists. We want to teach them what they can do better to maybe get into those kind of things. And we tell people, look, you can get involved in an art group or something like that and maybe study a little bit more, work on this particular technique. We'd never put anybody down, I mean, for their artistic efforts.
You haven't seen my work yet, have you?
No, I haven't. But even the most amateur artist, we'll try to take time with them to explain, you know, okay, this is why we wouldn't have it in the gallery, instead of just saying no. We're going to tell them why we wouldn't necessarily feature their artwork. Maybe it's a theme. Maybe it's a thing that we just don't feel it would be marketable. Or maybe just the technique needs to be worked on a little bit more before they start submitting to galleries.
Right. Have you ever been wrong as far as saying, no, I don't think this is going to work, and then somebody walks in and goes, hey, I love that?
Not usually, because, I mean, we've been around for 35 years, and we've seen a lot of different styles and a lot of different artists, and usually we can tell when people really have the drive and the effort to make it work.
Hey, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. We'll be back with more with Brett Allen in just a moment. Stick around.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We're back in 5, 4, cue Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show, Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we are talking with Brent Allen from the Elsinore Framing and Art Gallery. And you guys have had some changes in the formats, haven't you?
Right. So most people know us as a business as being more prints and posters and kind of limited edition artwork, that kind of thing, and then just doing monthly shows. Well, in the last 5 years, we've really made a switch. The print market... Really, we saw a downturn coming about 7 years ago, and we thought, you know...
Why is that?
Well, a lot of things have happened. The internet has taken over a lot of the art sales. The dealerships have kind of gone by the wayside as far as those kind of exclusivity things.
Okay.
So we saw that kind of happening about 7 years ago, with print values kind of on the decline and the collectability and people just changing the way they buy art. And so we figured, you know, let's not fight that battle anymore. We were having to pay to keep our print dealerships open because there wasn't enough orders to support it anymore. And so we changed about 5 years ago, working towards getting into more of an original art format. We had a lot of requests from artists to have a place to show, and there just weren't that many opportunities. So what we did is we took the gallery and sold off a lot of our inventory and invited artists to come and bring artwork in on consignment instead. So what that's done for us is it created a showcase for artists it created a situation for us where we could change the artwork in the gallery all the time and make it more interesting for both us and customers. And it's been a very positive change for us over the years. We're not having to essentially buy art for the gallery to put in the gallery. Instead, the artists are bringing in things and they're consigning the art with us. So it's a great opportunity for the artists and some new artists that maybe haven't found a place to show yet to exhibit.
Have you, in the past, you've had to go out and buy artwork to bring in?
Well, right. So as a print dealer and, you know, posters and those kind of things, when you buy those, you have to buy those outright and then frame them and put them in the gallery. So there's a lot of investment in that. When we had our bigger store over by the Elsinore Theater, it was a challenge sometimes to make sure all the walls had art on them for people to come in and look.
Right.
And even working with local artists, it was difficult to get enough art, originals or prints, to show in the gallery. So it was a very much a challenge in that regard to keep inventory. So now we can keep the place filled with original art all year round with the number of artists that live in our area.
Okay, so you're kind of reorganizing, so you're heading in a new direction then from what you've done in the past.
Yeah, so this all kind of got spurred on by a change in ownership in our gallery. We went to a multiple owner situation, and part of that was financial, and part of it was actually reorganizing to kind of get new direction. When you've had a business for 30 years, you kind of need to come sometimes just revamp and regroup and say, what's working, what's not working? What can we do to kind of grow the business and make it more positive influence in the area? And so when we took on investors, it was a really good opportunity for us to maybe run the business more like a committee than kind of just a single owner influence.
So who's calling the shots now? Do you have a board that basically says, this is what we're going to do? Or
yeah, we have a board of about four people who make the major decisions
for the
company. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I joined as one of the part owners, and we have a couple other owners that are involved. And what we do is we're able to sit down together, and we meet weekly, really, to talk about the directions of the gallery, how things are going financially, obviously, but also just kind of the direction of the gallery, where we want to go from here, what kind of equipment needs do we need, those kind of things, just planning out our business, you know, and really focusing on that rather than just the day-to-day, we have to get this done, we have to get that done. It's a really positive environment to work as a committee and really dream about what we want to do with the place.
You said equipment, and I never even thought, what kind of equipment do you need? What do you need for equipment? Obviously, you need something to cut the frames and stuff, but what else do you need?
So we have, in our gallery, we have an automated mat cutter, which has helped to streamline that part of the business.
Okay.
But a lot of it is just updating saws, updating equipment like that, updating computers. We've been working for years to transition to a POS system so we don't have to write everything by hand.
Right.
And just basically things that will maintain our websites and different things like that we need to, you know, move forward in the technology. And we really try to be technology forward in the gallery. So if there's a new device that can help us do something a little better and get the customer a better result and for less money, we want to invest in that.
All right. Tell me about your framing department.
Yeah, that's what really, I mean, that's been the keystone of our business since we started back in, you know, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
In fact, when we first started, it was really about, gosh, a 20th the size that it is now, because the framing part of it was all they were really doing. They didn't have a gallery space per se. So they were able to do the framing in more of kind of just a small, you know, cupboard type of business. Whereas now, with the, you know, the gallery involved and the featured artists and all the other things we're doing, we need that space to be able to do that. But framing really pays the bills for what we want to do out front. So if we want to have art shows, we want to have new artists in, we want to have new displays, all of that hinges on our backbone, which is our framing operation.
Okay. So framing is kind of an art in its own, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because I've seen some of the work that, again, that Steve has done over the years.
Yeah.
And it's some beautiful work.
Yes. And some of the things like our automated mat cutter are enabling us to do things like logos in the mats, things that they're very difficult to do by hand and very time consuming and very expensive, honestly, to do by hand, whereas we can program them into the computer and it's able to, you know, CAD design the drawings into the mat board and integrate it. We've done things like we have a piece in the gallery right now that has a Ducks logo in the mat board. So, and those kind of things are very difficult, like I said, to do by hand because there's a lot of curves and things like that. You can't do those on a flat mat cutter. Okay. But the computer capabilities allow us to do those kind of things. Lettering in mats, multiple opening collages that we can play with all the openings and move them around and put them exactly where we want them rather than have to redraw it on graph paper, which is the way we started. So the technology has really been helping us to achieve things that we never could do when we didn't have that kind of ability.
Right. If somebody came across a piece of artwork that they wanted and they said they're going to bring it in and say, hey, Brent, would you frame this for me? Is it a spendy deal? I mean, what's the time frame? And
so
you kind of really just depends on what the piece of artwork is, right?
It really is, yeah. And right. Size matters in that case. I mean, if you have a bigger piece, obviously you're using more frame, you're using more glass, you're using more materials. So it really depends a lot on that. We have in-stock framing materials in the gallery. We stock our own molding lines that we buy when we can. And we have, you know, 30, 40,000 feet of frame downstairs that we can cut and build from that. And then we have, obviously, special order frames that we can get from a number of different suppliers that we can bring in, custom mats, more and more mat board selections all the time. We focus on the conservation quality, so we want to make sure we're preserving the artwork. The design aspect of it is very important to us. We want to make sure we're getting just the right feel for your artwork to make sure that we're matching with your kind of style and decor and just appropriateness for the artwork as well.
Right. You run the gallery. What is your favorite thing to do in there? What do you enjoy the most with your job?
I really like working with customers and working with artists, and that's at the front counter. You know, that front counter stuff is really great for us. I also maintain our websites and do some other things like that, just getting the social media kind of aspects done. So those kind of things have been new introductions to my job. But really, it's really the customers that make our business, the interactions that we have with them. We've missed having customers in for art receptions and doing those kind of things live because that's really the heart of our business is the customer interactions and the relationships we build through that.
When you're dealing with some of the different artists, do you keep a bottle of aspirin underneath the counter just in case?
Sometimes we have to do that, and sometimes we have to, you know, excuse ourselves, take a deep breath. But mostly, I would say our artists are wonderful here in the Northwest. I've worked with a lot of artists from outside the area, and I have to say I really love our Northwest artists. They have a great attitude about their artwork. Love working with artists who are starting out so we can kind of guide them and direct them as they grow. Those kind of things are really integral part of our business.
All right. You've got a lot of shows coming up in the next few months. Can you tell me about some of the shows?
Yeah, and like I said, next month we have Greg Navratil, and we have Phil Sargent, who is one of our returning artists, coming back into the gallery. And then in August we have a show called, a very interesting show called How We Grow Our Food, which has an agricultural theme to it. We've done that show a few times at the gallery. And a lot of our shows do recur every year. So it's nice to, you know, see like Something Red in December is one of the shows we do every year. And they're great shows, and a lot of them will feature groups versus, you know, in the main gallery, we have just single artists for the most part. So when we do our monthly shows, we can feature groups as opposed to just doing single artists. We rarely do just a single artist show anymore. It's mostly groups.
Why is that?
Because we have the featured artist showcase and we have 20 or so artists in there, those have their own kind of vignettes in the gallery. And so we already have that going on as single artists. And a lot of artists don't have 20 or 30 pieces at one time to fill up a showroom. And so that's why we do that. The groups are more able to fill those spaces up.
When you do feature an artist, is it one night where they come in? And the artist, I assume, shows up, right?
Usually they're in the gallery during the reception, and then the shows usually run for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Our featured artists, on the other hand, in the main gallery, they're in for 3 months at a time. And that gives people time enough to find them in the gallery. We don't want to have them just for 1 month for those things, because we want people to discover them over a period of time.
All right. And the, all the pieces of work in there, they're all for sale?
Right. Yeah, all the artists will bring in things that are available for sale.
Okay. And what else you got coming up? Christmas time. Do you have a Christmas show?
Yeah, so Christmas time we generally do the Something Red show with Artists in Action, which is our local arts group. We've done that show with them for a number of years, and it's a very successful show for us. We also have an October show with the Watercolor Society of Oregon, which is their convention show. So it's an 83-piece exhibit.
Wow.
Very big deal for us.
Wow. And you could do that right there in your facility?
Right. And we changed how we do the gallery a little bit that month, because we have to clear out the main gallery to fit all those pieces in.
Yeah. All right. What are the hours over there?
So our gallery, again, is on 444 Ferry Street, just a block east of the Conference Center. Our daily hours are 9 to 6, and then we're open 10 to 5 on Saturdays as well. And again, if people want to join us for our receptions, we are doing those on the first Fridays of the month from 5 to 8.
All right. We need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. We'll be back with more with Brent Allen from the Elsinore Framing and Art Gallery in just a minute. Stick around.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Welcome back. We are here with our final few minutes. We're talking with Brent Allen from the Elsinore Framing and Art Gallery, and we've been chatting about different art. Do you allow artists from outside of Oregon to come in and participate in any of your events?
We do. Now, we really feature the Northwest, Pacific Northwest artists, and feel like we have enough people in this area who are interested and talented that we don't need to go beyond the area to find people. That being said, we do a lot of searching online, and we find artists that we're interested in, and if they're willing, we'll have them come in. Right now, we have one artist, Teresa Otteson, who's from Utah, who has sent some things over to display, and I really enjoy her work. We have shown her work before, and so she's a returning artist, but we really fell in love with her work a few years back when we had her in the gallery. So we have gathered artists from outside the area, as far as Northern California, Idaho, Utah, and Washington, but we just really try to keep it in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. So if I come to you and say, hey, you know what, I got a buddy of mine in Durango, Colorado, you say, well, good, keep them there.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, sometimes it's a matter of stylistically what they're doing, too. If they're in a particularly Western or Southwest theme, it may not work well in the gallery to have somebody come in. Or if someone's in a, you know, very modernistic New York kind of style artwork that's, you know, $40,000, $50,000, it may not be our marketplace. So we look at the artists, we look at the style they're doing more than anything else. We're not opposed to doing shows with people outside the area. But, you know, having the artist here and local is very important to us, because we can establish relationships with them, and our clients can actually meet with them, too, rather than doing things long distance.
What is the, and again, I'm throwing you a curve here, but what is the most expensive piece of artwork that you've seen sell?
Well, I mean, in our gallery, we have had pieces in the gallery that are $32,000, $33,000.
Really?
We've had pieces that right now in the gallery that are $25, $30. So, I mean, we try to keep a good variety of pricing in our gallery, because we have a variety of customers also that are coming into our store.
Who prices the artwork?
Generally, the artists will set the prices because they know what they need to get to make a living. I would say most artists generally underprice their work, as far as I'm concerned. Sure. So sometimes I'll cancel them, you know, because they're paying me a consignment as well. I mean, I want them to make money in the whole thing. We advocate for the artist in that case. And most of the time we'll tell them, well, you know, if you just went to $125 versus $100, you know, you might make a little bit more money on it. But I think people respect it a little bit more if you value it. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes a lot of artists undervalue what they do and their time.
Will it go the other direction? You have someone comes in and says, hey, I want $30,000 for this. And you're going to look at them and say, you're lucky if you're going to get $10,000 for it.
Yeah. And I would say, well, that would be great. You can take it to the coast or one of the big, you know, art areas and, you know, sell it there maybe for that. But we have to be realistic in our particular demographics, maybe won't support that kind of price range. And so we have to be realistic about that. We may put it online for them and try to sell it that way. But for us to dedicate space to a piece that we're not going to be able to sell for one reason or another isn't good business to do. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like it's ridiculous to try to go too high on some of these things.
All right, I'm going to change the direction here because it's time for me to toot our horns a little bit. You know, we won an award.
Yeah.
We won an award here for best radio station in the Willamette Valley.
That's awesome.
Let me hear you top that one.
Well, okay. So last year, we entered the Best of Willamette Valley awards program, and we hadn't done that in a number of years.
Okay.
And we thought, okay, well, you know, we're becoming quite the art gallery location, and that was one of the categories. So we figured, well, let's go ahead and enter it and see what happens. We got our customers to vote for us, and we won last year. And so
you are going to top me then.
We were really thrilled. Yeah, we were really thrilled to get that award. And that really is kind of an affirmation of the direction that our gallery is going. And so this year we entered that again. And then I realized that the framing part of the whole thing wasn't being covered. And so we suggested that they, you know, put that as a category. And there's several frame shops here in town that would be eligible for that. Ruth Graham's and us and Affordable and, you know, other operations here in town. So we said, well, you know, that's a really valid category. So they added that onto the list. And so this year we won the best of for gallery and for frame shop, which is really great for us. It affirms really what we've been trying to do all this time, is be the best at what we do and be kind of the most friendly and open gallery so people can come in and feel like they can find something at our store, that they can feel comfortable working with us as a frame shop and as an art gallery and not feel like we're being exclusive or anything like that. We want people to be comfortable with us. And so it was really good an affirmation that our clients supported us in that way. We really thank them very much.
Doesn't it make you feel good that the public is saying, hey, you know what? You're number one in our book. You're number one.
Yeah, I mean, we've known it for a long time, but
There you go.
But to have our customers come out and support us in that way is great. You know, it's kind of like American Idol. If you win American Idol, it's the public that's making that decision. And it's really neat that they are supporting what we're doing in our new direction that we're going as a gallery.
Right. Back in the old days, if you went on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yes.
And if you did that, your career was set.
Yeah.
One night, you're ready to go.
Yeah, I was just watching a documentary on Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist.
Yes, yes.
And he said that was his number one goal from high school, was to get on The Johnny Carson Show. And when he finally did it, it was like the fulfillment of his life to get on that show.
My buddy, I've opened for Louis Anderson many, many times, and he told me the same thing. His first night on The Carson Show, he said, I got home, and the second day, my career began.
Yes.
Because of that. So Carson's no longer here, but you know what? You're still guys at the tops. You guys are still doing good.
It's great.
Now, you have a website. Tell me about your website.
So, yes, we actually have two websites, one that's specifically gallery-oriented, and the other one is framing-oriented. Our website grew to be so big that we had to split it a couple years ago. So if you go online to find us, the ElsinoreGallery.com site has all about our shows, our artists, art appraisals, that kind of thing that you can reference. A lot of helpful connections with other businesses that we work with. Just a lot of information about the arts community, as well as what we do in the gallery. And then our framing site really just dials in our framing operation and what you can look for there, including corporate art, commercial type of business art, and also retail framing.
All right. And again, your phone number is 503-581-4642?
That's correct,
yes. Do you answer all your email?
We try to answer all of our emails, and we get a lot within a day or so of getting them. We get a lot of requests for people selling art and a lot of things like that, and those sometimes take a little while to research and those kind of things. Appraisers, we have a page on our website we refer people to because we don't really do appraisals on original art. But there are things that they can find on our websites that are difficult to handle in person, but you can use those links to track those people down that really know those fields of expertise. We work with a lot of print shops and places like that, that we can help people get their projects completed that way as well.
All right. So if people have questions or if they would like to come in and just kind of browse around, head on down. It's downtown 444 Ferry Street, which is just about a block east of the conference center.
Right.
And you're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 6, and on Saturdays from 10 to 5. Sundays, you sit back, you relax, and you catch your breath, right?
Sundays, we just go to church and relax. That's
there
right. And then we are actually, just so everyone can join us on our art openings, we're scheduling all of those now on the Salem Art Walk, which is the first Friday of the month from 5 to 8.
All right. Brent, I've got 1,000 more questions I could ask you. Would you come back and do this again sometime?
Sure will.
All righty. We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.